I'm driving in my car. I turn on the radio.
Hey, how about you let me drive?
Oh, no, 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 no.
Who's gonna drive you home?
Honey, please, I'll do the driving.
Drive on.
Excuse me, I wanna drive.
Just drive, baby.
It's the question that drives us.
This is the Drive to the Close.
That funky music will drive us till the dawn.
On Bloomberg Radio.
It is time for the Drive to the Close. Back with us. I'm excited to have back with us Doug Cioka, CEO and partner at Kavar Capital Partners, roughly $775 million in assets under management, based in Leawood, Kansas. And that's where we find him on the phone on this Thursday. So, Doug, how are you? How's it going?
I'm well. How are you and Jason?
We're doing okay. Week 11.
All right.
Here we are.
Yeah, week 11. We're making our way through it. What's the scene on the ground in Kansas?
The scene on the ground is good. I mean, it's wet today, but that's pretty par for the course this time of year. But things are good. You know, I think in general, broadly speaking, clients are well. They're optimistic, and I think deservedly so. There's a lot of good things that have developed. I think I was on with you guys in the first week.
Yeah.
Of April, and shoot, so much has happened since then, and I think by and large, very positively predisposed.
Well, okay, until President Trump and President Xi started going at it again when it comes to U.S.-China. You know, a headline crossed the Bloomberg at 3:17 p.m. Eastern. Trump says he's going to hold a news conference on China Friday, and the rally that we saw. Stocks went from their highs and took a leg down. We're just a little bit lower, but nonetheless, investors are nervous about this. Here's another big macro thing, macro story that we've had to deal with a lot, I feel like, Doug, over the last couple of years. Big deal in your world, or how do you see it?
Well, I think incrementally, sure. I mean, you have to figure that last year we did see some thaw of the China-U.S. tensions in coordination with a Fed that had reversed course from its more hawkish posture at the end of 2018. And that combination really lit an explosive broad-based rally. So now geopolitical tensions are escalating. I mean, literally as of the last few weeks, maybe a couple months, and certainly the blame game at the start of the pandemic. But if the geopolitical tensions are escalating, but we still have a Fed that's firmly committed to loose monetary policy, then I think the outcome of that tension point is more than equal and opposite and favors the Fed. But keep in mind, I mean, this is a budding impediment that is likely to be more of a conflagration, at least is partially politically motivated, right? Because it seems like the one thing that both sides of the aisle can agree on is China is now public enemy number one of the United States, so who can be more hawkish? While Trump's in office, he's not going to miss an opportunity to be coronated that title.
And so do you just sort of stay put and ride this out here, Doug? Or what do you do as you're looking toward – I mean, we're almost to the point where we really are talking about the back half of the year. How do you synthesize this and feather it in with, you know, what we have still, which is a pandemic and a crisis and a health crisis and economy that has largely ground to a halt?
Yeah, the economy has ground to a halt. Obviously, the market has done just the opposite, right,
yeah.
Jason? I think, and the recovery has taken on almost warp speed proportions. And it's really the speed but not the magnitude that's surprising, just given the historical context of the market being a leading indicator of the economy. So you get to the point now when you say we've had fantastic monetary policy intervention. We've had fantastic fiscal policy intervention. We're kind of in a middling range, right? A lot of the early gains have clearly been made. Now we're at a point of inflection of where does the economy go from here to corroborate the market's move? So are there sectors of the market that still offer opportunity in strong consideration of what's taking place still on the geopolitical side? So it's just another element that has to go into the calculus of identifying strong expected return sectors within the stock and bond markets.
I feel
but
like
by no means do we think it's time to reverse course and raise cash.
I was going to say, I feel like there's a lot, though, Doug, in that calculus right now.
Oh, there's no question. There's no question. I mean, I think, right, there's not only the economic but the emotional. And I think when you go through in that the type of pandemic and the sort of that combination or coordination of fear that we experienced, it made it difficult to compartmentalize and sort of see through opportunity from the headlines, which were undoubtedly and deservedly very negative. So I think that's the thing that people are still struggling with as they look to commit new capital.
And so what worries you the most here?
I don't know that I'd prioritize any of the set of worries. I think more than anything, complacency. You know, complacency is a problem from the standpoint of false confidence in the curve flattening that's taken place, too quick as it relates to reopening economies, being negligent or ignoring data points that would obviously be in the broad-based best interest of the collective American populace to go very slow. And I think what happens, right, is we all have this pent-up energy and optimism, and for, again, as I said earlier, with good reason.
Yeah.
But, like, being very measured in sort of the allocation of our energy and our efforts as well as the allocation of our capital.
So I'm curious, were you putting a lot of money to get, you know, to work, or new money put to work, you know, Doug, when we saw the sell-off? And are you just kind of marking time right now?
No, a little bit of both. So, okay. Like, we put money to work, but never with any, probably in hindsight, Carol, not enough speed, right? I mean, certainly the March 23rd bottom, which is held, we think it's going to hold. It's very obvious in hindsight where it was. You know, did we back up the truck to equities on the March 24th? We didn't, but in a very measured fashion, as it was appropriate for clients and sort of their risk profile and their ultimate long-term objectives. But we're by no means pulling off the throttle, because if you think about what's happened, and certainly when you look at the attribution of the index, well, the S&P is down 6 or 7% for the year, but the average stock of the S&P is still down 12 or 14%. And those are still the biggest 500 companies in the world.
Yeah.
So there's a whole subset of companies, particularly small cap, international, where they've seen considerably larger drawdowns, which we think make for even more attractive entry points.
Yeah, especially if once we get on the other side of this, if consumers do come back, if the economy starts to reopen with some kind of momentum, we certainly could see something more play out when it comes to the equity markets.
Oh, it will, right? I mean, and you think about, I mentioned being optimistic. Like, we're so optimistic on the science. We're so optimistic on the American spirit. We're so optimistic on U.S. economy 2.0 or 3.0, whatever we're going to call this post-COVID construct. But there are going to be lots of changes in business and therefore changes in investment opportunities. But we always want to think in terms of marginality, right? How many people have come on your program and said, you know, we're never going to need commercial office space again, or we're never going to have an attraction of living in or commuting to a big city? I don't agree with any of those statements in totality, but there are going to be subtle changes to that effect, and those should end up being very, very positive.
Yeah. Now it's a really interesting point, and we always love your optimism, Doug. It's really good. It's really good to hear. Doug Ciocca, Chief Executive Officer and Partner for Kavar Capital Partners, joining us on the phone from Leawood, Kansas. Carol.
Well, a little realism, right? Like, you know, you do. I kind of got up this morning. I'm like, God, I miss taking trips. Like, I was really thinking about it and thought, as soon as we can figure this out, you know, I kind of want to resume that part of our world. So it's just a case of figuring it out, making it safe. And I do think it'll be smarter and more constructive. I don't think people will necessarily, at least initially, jump on planes as quickly as they used to. All right, stick around, everybody. We've got the closing bell coming your way in just a few minutes, right here on Bloomberg Radio.